This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
16-42. That is your New England Patriots record in their house of horrors. That would be Miami/Miami Gardens, Florida, be it Pro Player Park /Joe Robbie/Hard Rock/J-Lo Stadium, University of Miami Stadium, wherever they happen to play. Miami has always had the advantage where there's heat, fun, and sun over the New England Patriots. And we wonder this particular Sunday, can the new champion of Foxborough, Drake May, take that all the way up to 17, or will the resurgent Dolphins, led by their quarterback, get two of them victories against the Patriots this season? Let's find out on a very special Behind Enemy Lines edition of Six Rings and Football Things, because today we are teaming up with our friends at Dolphins Talk for a little crossover podcast action. I'm pleased to be joined by Mike Oliva from Dolphins Talk and DolphinsTalk.com on today's edition of the podcast. Mike, great to have you, my man. You must be feeling much better these days, considering the way that the Dolphins have started to play the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the first, you know, 6-8 weeks of the season was miserable. It was not fun. It was rock bottom, as bad as it could get. And since he's returned at quarterback to, you know, yes, they lost the first two games, the nail biters to Arizona and the Bills, but sort of right of the ship here. They still have an outside shot for the playoffs, which is good to have meaningful games late in the year, something to watch, something to root for, and they're looking much, much improved than they did in September and October.
Yeah, you got like Tua coming back. I would just like to say on behalf of myself, who's a dad and a youth football coach, in addition to all Patriots fans and just humans in general, if Tua could stop trying to tackle people or gain extra yards by putting his head down and just giving all of us mortal pause, that would be great. We'd like to see him out on the field as healthy, as happy, and productive, maybe not this Sunday so much, as long as possible. But otherwise, it's amazing what a stark contrast. You know, I think both teams, we can examine what a stark contrast both teams have been this season. My word, let's go all the way back to week 5. What an absolute tire fire of a game that was. Jacoby Brissett versus Snoop Huntley, 15-10, your final. One of the many games Patriots fans, media, whomever alike up here in New England and throughout Pat's Nation believe belongs as part of the house money that the team left on the table this year in several winnable games. I think how unproductive that offense was and their inability to lead a final scoring drive and take from the Dolphins a very winnable game was ultimately what led the team to put in Drake May. And it's been a massive turnaround, averaging over 8 points a game, more yards per game. But it's just what you can see, the details on the field, like the product itself, just trust your gut, is so much more watchable. And then for you guys as well, holy smokes, you want to talk about night and day, not only getting your receivers involved more, but the run game as well has benefited significantly from Tua coming back.
Yeah, the one thing that's changed this year, and I don't know how this year will end for Miami. Probably not well, honestly. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they'll come just close and not make it. One thing I think fans of Miami will take away from this year is their head coach grew up a little bit in that, you know, the first 2.5 years, probably up until even October this year, he was very stubborn at times with his, I run this offense. I don't care who's a quarterback. I don't care what the situation is. I'm running this offense no matter what. What we've seen probably the past 5 weeks or so, he's adapted. He's adjusted. He's holding some players accountable. Raheem Mostert scored 21 touchdowns last year. He is now third string because he has fumbled a few times. He would never do that in the past. He's done that. He cut a team captain in Long, our middle linebacker, 2 weeks ago because he wasn't playing well. Our head coach has grown up a bit, and I think taking that away from the season, no matter how it ends, is going to be good moving forward. But, yeah, the first part of the season wasn't good. That game, oh, my God, that was a brutal game. Jacoby Brissett was bad. Miami's offense was bad. But we have run the ball a lot better this year, which is a little surprising because our offensive line really isn't that great. But when it comes to run blocking, they've sort of been very good. And we got some running backs in Achane and Jalen Wright, the rookie, and even
– yeah, good pick.
Once again, Raheem Mostert, now his third string – that's not a bad guy to have third string.
No, he's not. And he was an absolute hoss last year as well. He ripped off a long one in Foxborough in another one of the close games that the teams played last year. The one in Miami was not so close. Bad pick for Mac to Jalen Ramsey as well. That's the game where Kendrick Bourne got hurt. Whereas the first one was a nail biter all the way down to where Cole Strange picked up the lateral and was a half yard short while the Patriots were trying to make a valiant effort, comeback, score the game tying touchdown as well. Again, first game this year, whew, just an absolute brutal watch of a game. But once the, it's funny, you talk about Mike McDaniel adapting, and this is sort of what I hope as Jerod Mayo, you know, quote, continues to make notes, which is kind of frustrating for people because, you know, you've been around a football field your whole life. But once you're a head coach versus a coordinator or an assistant like McDaniel and Mayo were elsewhere, the game changes drastically. The stakes are higher, the intensity level, the critical thinking you have to do in-game and all those decisions make it a much more emotional and intense affair. The Dolphins weren't able to do anything really for the majority of the game. And then all of a sudden when they decided to get the fullback involved and just start running power football late in the game, that's when they got the touchdown drive that put them up to stay as well. So I can see what you're saying there as far as Mike McDaniel adapting and growing up a little bit. Like, he's not just everybody's best buddy who wears a fancy tracksuit and calls a lot of fun plays that would be really neat to orchestrate in Madden. Like, he's evolving into a head football coach. And hopefully the team, I imagine, you know, for all of you and the Dolphins talk people, you know, hopefully the team continues to grow and evolve with him.
Yeah, they love him down there. Like, that's one thing, too. There have been so many times this year where they were so bad in September and October, they could have quit on him. They haven't quit. They've played hard, even through some tough losses. They have played hard. And, you know, even a couple weeks ago, they were – what are we now, 4-6? They were, you know, not, things weren't looking good because he came back to a loss to Arizona, loss to the Bills. Easy for this team to quit. Mel and saying, we're out of it. We got no chance. They continued to play hard, really hard for him. So that's good that he hasn't sort of lost the locker room. And, you know, for Mike McDaniel is who he is. He ain't going to change. He's going to tell jokes at times. He's going to be quirky at times. And that's fine because that's what makes him so likable, easy to root for, which makes him easy for the younger athletes to relate to. But there does come a time where you got to be the boss and you got to be the head coach. And he's shown that the past month or so. It's like, look, I want to do it this way. We can't. It's not working. Or I don't have the people to do it this way. We're going to do it this way and play power football, have these long drives of 10 or 11 plays that take 8 minutes off the clock that – are going to work the same as if I just threw it long to Waddle, long to Hill. We score 3 plays. Everyone does a dance around the sideline. So he's changed. He's adapted. And he still is who he is at his core, but he's grown up a lot. And that's, you know, as a fan, if I take that away from the season, it's still, we are not going to meet expectations. But yeah, still, if that's one thing we take away, maybe 2025, 2026, we do meet those high expectations. So something to build off, I guess.
All right. Here's a question. We have some people watching live right now as we record this crossover of the Dolphins Talk podcast with Six Rings and Football Things. They're watching live on the Fitzy GFY socials and WEEI. One of our regulars in the chat, Jeff Stenberg, says, Mike, Why does Tua hate Jalen Waddle? Hawaiian Tebow refuses to throw his way whenever I take Waddle 80 plus yards. I'll follow it. I've started benching him in my fantasy league, and I thought this guy was going to feed this year, especially when Tyreek Hill got hurt.
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, Waddle's had a few drops. He had a big drop last week. He's had a few drops. It's not all on the quarterback. Okay. And number two, the change in offense. Yes, 2022, 2023, Mike McDaniel, he comes here, wide open offense. Teams are smart. They watch. Like, oh, you think you're going to throw a deep down the field every play all the time and it's going to work? No, the coaches and all of our opponents have caught on to that. It's up to Mike McDaniel to come up with a counter move to that. But until he does, we're going to play power football. We're going to run it down your throat. We're going to win time of possession. We're going to own the line of scrimmage and try and stop us that way. And then we'll take our occasional shots, maybe not long shots downfield. But we'll play off the play action. We're going to get a tight end involved. We haven't had a tight end in God knows how many years. Jonnu Smith has been fantastic.
All right. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. What are you guys feeding Jonnu Smith, and who figured out how to unlock him? Because the guy that's playing for you is what I think Bill Belichick thought he was going to get when he made him priority number one signing in the 2021 free agency offseason period that was called the uncharacteristically aggressive shopping spree. First one that was announced was Jonnu Smith, 4 years, $50 million, with like $25 million guaranteed. He didn't do squat, jack, diddly, and all three of them decided to get on the same horse and get out of town. He stunk. Whereas now, he's like running the ball, catching the ball, blocking. He's a powerhouse. Like, we've finally seen him rounded into form. What do you think Mike McDaniel did to unlock this guy?
Let's be honest. When he was with the Patriots, who else was around him? His weapons. In Miami, when you go pay attention to Hill, got to pay attention to Waddle. And then you got Achan, who's been spectacular coming out of the backfield, not just as a runner, but as a receiver. You forget about Jonnu Smith, favorable matchups. He looks great. With the Patriots, he probably didn't have that type of situation, just guessing.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Like, the only other – well, so at that time, they had Kendrick Bourne, the corpse of Nelson Agholor, who, of course, is better with the Ravens than he was with the Patriots. But that's what happens a lot of times. Pats just can't develop, draft, sign, pick anything as far as wide receivers. I'll say Branch, Welker, Edelman, and Moss will continue to be outliers when compared to the rest of everybody. And maybe 1 year of Brandon LaFell in a Super Bowl season. It's unbelievable. I think every time people are watching the red zone and they cut to Scott Hansen and he's like, "Well, there goes Jonnu Smith running down, just knocking people out of his way like he wants to be first in line on Black Friday." It's unbelievable. We all just sort of stare at it like, "Who is this guy?"
Well, even last year with Atlanta, he was behind Kyle Pitts. But if you look at the numbers, it's like Jonnu Smith played pretty well for a team.
Arthur Smith started the turnaround, and Mike McDaniels finished the work that, you know, Arthur Smith walked, like he walked so that Jonnu could run with Mike McDaniel. It's amazing. Also, I've noticed a couple things on your team. Jalen Phillips, who's a pass rusher, I was begging the Patriots to draft a couple years back. Thought he was awesome. Looked like Jason Taylor 2.0. He goes down for the season. Was it an Achilles or an ACL?
Well, last year it was the Achilles on Black Friday versus the Jets. Yep. At that horrible stadium at the Meadowlands.
Let's just be honest. Every Sunday you play the Jets, it's a Black Friday.
Yeah, pretty much.
What a dumpster fire.
Works his ass off to come back. And he gets back by like whatever it was, week four, week five, whatever it was. I think it was like week three maybe. He's back out there and he just gets rolled up on and gets hit in the knee. Now it's an ACL. Ugh. So he just got over the Achilles. Now he's got to get over the ACL. Next year his is fifth year option. Hopefully he can come back stronger than ever. Because they would love to re-sign him, pay him, and keep him for years to come. But now with those two injuries, you gotta be careful, make sure he's the same guy. But yeah, he is awesome. He just, unfortunately, two bad injuries, just bad luck, really.
But I was gonna say, your first round draft pick, Chop Robinson, looks like he's finally living up to A, that amazing name, and B, the draft stock that the team put in him as well. You know, Jalen Phillips is a unique animal, defensive player and pass rusher unto himself. But Chop Robinson like became somebody that the Monday Night Football crew had to acknowledge 2 weeks back when you guys, quite honestly, surprised the Rams 23-15.
Yeah, he's come on probably the past month or so. Again, he's a rookie. And even at Penn State, he didn't have a lot of sacks. So when they took him, it's like, it's a little bit of a project, but he's got everything you want. And his first step is as good of a first step I've ever seen at anyone. He can get past an offensive tackle when he gets a good jump, and it is lethal. And now he's starting to learn. He's worked a lot with Armstead Our left tackle, who showed him some of the tricks of the trade. If you want to be,
he's also coming around again now, like a healthy offensive line. It's no mistake. You guys are playing better football with a healthy offensive line.
Yeah, but he's worked with him a lot, Chop. And Chop, now we're starting to see the sacks. Now they're starting to come. And even when he's not getting sacks, he's in the backfield so much, making the quarterback uncomfortable. You're seeing how he's going to be a force moving forward. I mean, look, it's only been, what, 10 games for him? And he's it's very noticeable when you watch them play. Oh, Chop's in the backfield again. Oh, Chop's in the backfield again. Not a sack, but, man, he messed up that play for them. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always in the backfield.
Right, he's a high impact player as well. Let me, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do also is like pick your brain as to what Dolph fans, if you will, and Miami, the Miami Dolphins at large, are saying about the Patriots. And I'll lead off with a little audio from your evolving, maturing head coach Mike McDaniel, who recently, I should say, like a day or two ago, joined the growing list of pundits, analysts, former players, and coaches who is loving up him. Some Drake May.
Who quarterback who has the ability to I don't know, gain the confidence of his teammates and lead and orchestrate an offense. I saw a guy that can make plays in a multitude of ways. I think the Patriots are kind of feeling that right now, where he's a guy that can see down the field, can play fearlessly in the pocket and make every throw with the arm strength to do it. So
he goes on and on and on for another minute or so. Like, this comes off Sean McVay saying, like, I didn't do a lot of work on this kid, but wow, was I impressed. He can do everything, make all the throws. He's a stud. John Gruden called him a stud last week. Looks like the real deal, and it's a breath of fresh air for us. Yet, sadly, you know, I'm calling them the New England Patriots because – it's Drake May and, like, Christian Gonzalez is a good cornerback. We'll get to that in a second because I know Tyreek Hill loves him some Gonzo. But what do you guys think about Drake May, and what's the South Beach view of the Pats and May right now?
Yeah, I live in ACC country, so I saw him a lot when he was at North Carolina. I've also bet North Carolina a lot in the past, so PP maybe some money, let's just say. I am a big fan of May. I like Drake May a lot. I think he's going to be really good. Heading into last year's draft with those – three guys at the top, all playing quarterback. I had May like second. I just thought he was that good. So I'm a big fan of May. But yes, looking at your roster with the Patriots, man, it's a who's who of who. I mean, there's not much help around him at all. And that's why I was kind of surprised they went to him so early, because the one thing you don't want to do is just get the kid shell-shocked and abused, getting hit every play. And I saw he's been sacked, I think, 17 times in like seven games, if I got the numbers correct. He's been hit a lot. But no, he's really good. It's just about having the right offensive coaches around him, which we didn't have when we had Brian Flores here with Tua. You got to get the right offensive coaches around him and having talent around him, because he's the most important position, the most important player on the Patriots, bar none. And I don't know what you're going to do next offseason, but it should be wide receiver, tight end, running back, offensive line. Like, that's it. Worry about the defense the next year. It's like, just put every ounce of money, salary cap space around that kid. Because if he fails, you're going to be like us and be like 20-something years of NFL purgatory. It's like you got to build up the quarterback, and that's what we did when we moved out from Flores, and it's worked, you know, to an extent, obviously. It's got us relevant, at least, in the conversation. And no, but I think May's a really good player, and I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, but I agreed, and they just got to get some stuff around. Like, you know, what would – You mentioned two of the proper coaches, and then obviously assets and weaponry as well. Like, what would if we just played the old quarterback swaparoo game? Like last weekend, watching the Patriots go wire to wire with the Rams, and in yet another winnable game, they lose 28-22. All I kept thinking all game long was like, my kingdom, just to get Drake May, one of these guys, let alone the ability to throw to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You know, so I wonder what it'd be like if Tua was on the Pats and Drake May had Waddle and just Tyreek. Forget about Achan, Jonnu, the way Jonnu's playing and everything. Like that feels to me like that would be a system that he would thrive in. And I can only imagine if he worked with somebody as creative as Mike McDaniel. Not to say that, you know, the meat and potatoes approach, the corned beef and pass, as I like to call it, for Alex Van Pelt, you know, isn't slowly growing. He's a good quarterback's coach, it seems, or at least, you know, pet, you know, he's grooming him well, but like, I just feel like some of what you guys have is exactly what I would love to see Drake May get his hands on.
Well, you look at the system of Shanahan, McVay, Mike McDaniel, LaFleur, it's all the same offensive system. And all those guys, whether it's Jordan Love, Sean McVay's got like a veteran, but that doesn't count. But in San Francisco, with that young quarterback, it's quarterback friendly. And you've load them up with guys at wide receivers, and it's a quarterback friendly system. And it works. That's sort of like the modern offense that should be run, I think, in this league, or that is often replicated because it's got proven success. And I think if May was in Miami, obviously he'd be fine. He'd still be a rookie, but I think he'd be fine if Tua was with the Patriots. Well, we saw that during the Brian Flores era when there's nobody around him and you're just throwing him out there to the Wolves and be like, well, you're the fifth pick. Make something happen. You got nobody around him. How do you always make something happen? Nobody to throw to. It's like, it's not that easy. So we've sort of seen that and we've lived through that as fans of the Dolphins. But I think just young quarterbacks, just surround them with weapons. They did it in Cincinnati. They did it in Philadelphia. The Chargers, I think, are trying to get that right now and fix that and do a little bit of a course fix here with Herbert. In Miami was a course fix that they did. It's just, that's the way you do it. Even the Bears, this year, they knew they were going to take him. They went out there and got Keenan Allen, and they got more already, and they used another first-round pick on a wide receiver. It's like just surrounding these young kids with all the weapons because it's an offensive league. You can play great on defense. Yes, it matters. But the offense matters so much more these days. You got to outscore people. And if you can't, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because you're going to have a team like the Rams who have a day like that versus you guys, where it's like, well, we got to score close to 40 to beat them. And we got no firepower to come close to doing that. Or if you got to outscore Pat Mahomes, you hoped to just have him on an off day. Well, you better have the weapons in place. So if he does have an off day, maybe we get lucky once. You know, so that's what this league is. It's all about offense. And I like May, but they've really got to help him out next offseason.
Yeah, they need somebody speedy to pair up with Ramondre. Ramondre is like a sure-handed bulldozer. At least when he catches the ball, he's put the ball on the ground a little too much early in the season for our liking, but there's not a lot of flash and pop. And, you know, our slot receiver, Pop Douglas, he's good, but he's inconsistent. He's also tiny. I almost even wonder if like any of the other receivers, Hunter Henry's excellent and Austin Hooper's been pretty good as a backup tight end, but I almost wonder if any of the receivers on the Patriots would make the Dolphins roster.
Well, they probably would. Cause after our first two, we've had a ton of injuries. Hill and Waddle are great. Odell Beckham missed like the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. River Craycraft's also missed the first half of the year. So we had a lot of injuries, so they probably would become threes and fours. But, you know, when everyone's healthy, no, probably not.
I don't think they would as well either. All right. So let's swap a couple names before we get to predictions and wrap up. Give me the name of maybe a guy on offense and or defense that we haven't talked about already who could be a difference maker for the Dolphins Sunday at 1 o'clock at Hard Rock.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because it's a name that has been around forever. But at 38 years old, Calais Campbell is as good as he's ever been in this league. When we lost Christian Wilkins and he signed with the Raiders for all that money, Dolphins fans were like, "What? How do we let him go? How did we not sign him prior to now, lock him up long term? What are we going to do?" And we signed Calais Campbell for 1/10 of the money at 38 years old, who can only give you 35 snaps a game, maybe. And this guy wrecks havoc every week, all the time. He has been awesome. He's been so good. I don't know if he's going to retire after this year. He might play next year at 39. And this ain't Tom Brady playing quarterback where you can't touch him. He can play to his 40. This is defensive end, defensive tackle in the trenches. And this guy's been awesome. So the Patriots better find a way to put a couple guys on him. Otherwise, with him and Zach Sealer as well, they're just going to wreak havoc on that line because when they're together, Zach missed a couple games, but now he's back. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. But Campbell on his own has just been the biggest surprise because at that age, at that position, nobody expected that.
So no, it looks like Calais Campbell from the Jaguars like 8 years ago. Dude's ridiculous.
Even a Pro Bowl season at 38.
I know. My God. I couldn't even, I could barely get out of bed without spraining an ankle when I was 12, 30 years here. Old. Jeez.
No, really.
Yeah. He's been awesome. All right. And on offense?
Offense. Well, we sort of spoke already about Geno Smith, but I'm going to say Achane at running back has been like an all-purpose back of all-purpose backs. Last week, he had over 100 all-purpose yards. As a weapon out of the backfield, he's catching four or five passes a game, getting 50, 60 yards there. As a running back, you know, some weeks he'll be around 80 or 90. He's no worse than 40 or 50 there. You have to account for him in every aspect of the game. And I think Achane, you know, once again, everyone pays attention to Hill and Waddle. They get all the attention, as they should. Achane and Janu have sort of, you know, they ride off that because they just don't get all the attention, favorable matchups, and they have had some nice days. Most weeks this year, it hasn't been Hill, it hasn't been Waddle who's the best offensive player. It's been Achane or Janu, which is saying something.
Yeah, for sure. From the Patriots' perspective, I want to shout out on defense, Anthony Jennings, a linebacker slash defensive end who re-signed on a three-year, $12 million deal this offseason. And he has been probably the most consistent playmaker, not sexy, not flashy by any stretch, just great at setting the edge, occasionally generates pressure on the quarterback. I would say play for play, pound for pound, has been the MVP of the Patriots' defense. With Christian Barmore going down and only coming back last week, he's still trying to play his way back into shape. After the blood clot issue as well, they lose Jabril Peppers in the secondary, Juwan Bentley, their best tackling linebacker, after the first week where they win in Cincinnati. So Anthony Jennings has been terrific for them. He's just an all-around dependable playmaker. Again, not the sexiest. No one's ever going to compare him to Reggie White or Mike Singletary, but he's just a rock-solid player. And on offense, again, it's Drake May and. So, you know, anyone who catches a pass, anyone who makes a play, the only guy I would say maybe could, you know, Hunter Henry's been having a tremendous season, maybe his best season. He's really evolved into a great overall all-around tight end as well. Austin Hooper snuck a couple catches in recently as well. Again, I'd gladly swap, you know, Austin Hooper's pass-catching dependency for the electricity and energy that Jonnu Smith has been delivering to you guys. But I have a feeling if we traded tight ends tonight, we would somehow put the radioactive, you know, the X-ray back into John, or like somehow the mysterious force field that was just causing him to play subpar would probably go through again. So those would be my guys. That's what I got for you there. What do you got for a score? How do you see it shaking down? I think it's 43.5, and the Dolphins opened as a 7-point favorite, I believe.
Yeah, this game kind of reminds me a lot of the game we played last week versus the Raiders, a team we have more talent than. We should beat at home. It's a home game. We have a short week about to come up playing the Packers on Thanksgiving night. I think
that's going to be a fun one.
We hope so, because like 1 month ago, we're like, no one's going to want to watch that game. If we could win this game and be at 5-6 with a chance to go to 500 versus the Packers, that game now matters, especially since we have Cooper Rush and Tommy DeVito Thanksgiving at 4:30. We need that night game to be good. So, for America.
Wait, yeah, by the way, side note, I know we're Dolphins and Pats fans. I just want to say out loud to Commissioner Goodell, Santa Claus, and God, what did we do to deserve that?
Tommy DeVito and Cooper Rush. No one's going to watch that game. So that night game, everyone's going to tune in and watch. And if you're at NBC, you're like, thank God the Dolphins won a few games to make this matter. And I think they'll win again this week. I just don't think the Patriots have enough offense in this game, kind of like the Raiders last week. Miami will have their long drives. They'll get their points, 27, 28, 30 maybe. And I think the Patriots, kind of like the Raiders, are going to struggle to get any points. Miami, you know, they have righted the ship as best they could. I think a lot of it is because of the head coach, and a lot of it is because of guys like Ramsey and Calais Campbell, veterans who haven't let them quit and have been that veteran voice you want to keep everything together. And I think they just got more talent than the Patriots right now. I think they'll win. If I had to predict, it'd be like 30-10.
Ooh, wow. That's a 20-point dub. That's even more than you guys won by last year. And that team, well, I guess that team sort of had more talent, but it was far more dysfunctional.
But they could coast more. They could take it easy, take the foot off the gas. This team's not going to take the foot off the gas. They know if they stub their toe once, it's over. Any hope of playoffs is over. This team's not going to stub their toe. They're more focused, and I think they're going to play it like it's the Super Bowl. Like
AFC's, listen, you should have 7 playoff games to try to get into the playoffs, because I'm pretty sure at this point now, you'll see the Buffalo Bills, you'll see the Steelers, you'll see the Ravens, you'll see the Texans, you'll see the Chargers, and you'll see the Chiefs. There's one spot open between Broncos, Dolphins, Indy.
Here's the problem for Miami, though, which is why I don't think they'll make it in the come short. Indianapolis has a tiebreaker over us, and four of their last six games are, get ready for this.
Yeah.
Giants.
Oof.
Jacksonville.
Hey.
Patriots.
Yeah.
And it was another bad one. I can't remember right now. Titans. So,
yeah. Titans. Okay.
Four of their six. So Miami not only has to, you know, match them, they got to pass them because the tiebreaker, that's going to be tough. Now, Miami does get the Jets twice. Rodgers probably won't even be playing those games. Well, we do get Cleveland.
Yep.
Okay. But we also got San Fran at home at Green Bay at Houston.
Well, San Fran at home could be beatable as well.
It might not be bad.
I think it's going to take 9 wins to get that final wild card spot. So
we got to hope Indy stubs are tough. At least once.
I think you guys will pick up one of them on Sunday as well. I have the Dolphins scoring as many points because the Patriots defense has just been lackluster, to say the least, in recent weeks. Hopefully they don't put Christian Gonzalez out as a boundary cornerback again and give him a chance to go one-on-one against Reek or Waddle as well, because I know how much respect there is from the Dolphins offense for Christian Gonzalez. Pats will score a few more points. They'll look good at times as well, because Drake will make a couple of signature Drake plays. Somehow between Holland or Ramsey, or someone's going to get a pick, it'll be a backbreaker. So, but the kid is learning. I'll go Miami 30, Patriots 20. That's a cover for the Dolphins and an over on the day. Mike, this has been a ton of fun. Thanks for giving me a little insight from the Dolphins perspective. What's going on down in the land of the Finns. Sounds like we're going to get squished by the fish on Sunday as well. You can follow him at Dolphins Talk and listen to, of course, the Dolphins Talk podcast. And you can read his musings and get all the latest on the Miami Dolphins and more at dolphinstalk.com. You can hear me on WEEI semi-regularly as well, and on the post-game show immediately following Pat at Finns on Sunday. And I'll be here with you on the Six Rings podcast all throughout and leading up to the game and afterwards. All right, everybody, thanks so much. This has been the Six Rings and Football Thing / Dolphins Talk crossover preview podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Mike, have a great one on Sunday, buddy. Have a great rest of the season as well. Everybody, take care. God bless. And as always, I guess I have to say this because you guys won the last game. Fins up and go Pats.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.